What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 363 of the PS4 Blackcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Isley.
Yo.
Hey, Messiah.
Hello.
And the other reason, you know, I like Zencastr is that there was always a slight delay because the way I would loop, my audio
that beep?
Through.
That was my phone.
It was the phone. Don't worry about it. I would loop my audio back through. So sometimes I'd say, like, here's so-and-so. And then there's a delay because they don't get it right away. At least with Zencastr, it's, like, immediate. Response.
Oh yeah, Discord has like a delay on it too. Anyway,
yeah, but yeah, here we are. Another week, no big PlayStation news like we were kind of hoping for. Like I mentioned last week, we know the rumors are still that June is the going to be reveal event. Or Izzy's all laughing about the phone sounds.
He's sending a text now. Okay, you know what?
My text noise is a sad one and the other one's a happy one.
Because I made it be quiet because I saw the text come in before the noise came and I was like, no!
I texted her saying quit making phone noises and mine was like, bloop, bloop.
And I make a little timeline footnotes like, at 1 minute 20 seconds text. But yeah, the rumors are still that June's going to be the reveal for PlayStation 5. No official dates, but we're almost there. We got a week left, so we'll see. But yeah, jumping into the news, the first bit was that... So I remember when Assassin's Creed Valhalla originally got announced, there was someone... One of the reports said, you know, how the map was going to be a little bit smaller than the current maps that have been in Origins and Odyssey.
Odyssey was ridiculous. I'm sorry. It was too big.
It wasn't even necessarily... That's the thing. Is like when they said it would be small, and obviously I'm like, well, do you mean landmass? Because there's a lot of water. Because you travel a lot by ship in that game. So it's like, sure, the map is big, but like how many square miles is the total landmass of that game? Like, is it really that much bigger than Origins? You know what I mean? So, and it's like you can just fast travel between locations after you reach them. So it's like you have to... you know, use your boat to get across these other locations every time. But yeah, there's an interviewer apparently with some YouTuber, Julian Jizz, I don't know who they are, where...
Really? You think their name is Julian Jizz?
Jizz. I said Chiz.
Oh.
We need to listen.
Izzy, oh my goodness.
I can't help it, I have a bad headset.
But he was talking with the Ubisoft producer, Julian Laferrere, who was talking about the game having a larger map than Assassin's Creed Odyssey. And he's saying here, quote, you know, I would actually say in terms of range, it is probably a bit larger than Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I don't have the exact figures at this stage, but we have not only created the whole country, which is, in this case, England, but also the good part of Norway, too. There are other secret worlds, which I cannot speak about today, which contribute to the size of the game. It's not a small game. It is a game that is clearly ambitious, which will offer many, many hours of gameplay for the player. So it could be a case of where, like, maybe, I wonder if they consider stuff like, let's go back to, like, Assassin's Creed Origins, where the DLC took you to, or I guess even Odyssey, where, like, the DLC takes you to, like, another area, or maybe where Layla goes. Like, if they count that, like, okay, here's, like, let's say the actual map that you primarily play in the Animus is like technically smaller, but then there's places you can go that like technically a new map that adds to that footprint. Like, I wonder if that's what he's thinking about. Cause he did, you know, with that whole comment about how there's, you know, other secret worlds, which I can't speak about, which contribute to the size. So that kind of means, okay, it'd be like Assassin's Creed, not like three, maybe. Yeah. Three. Cause don't you run around like Abstergo as Desmond in three and like, it's like that giant building. You go to that stadium and you have that blackout or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, in 3, they have the cave, too, right?
Yeah, and then eventually... Yeah. Yeah, eventually
and then you go to the stadium and it's like a level or whatever.
Right, yeah. So those, I wonder if they consider if it's going to be stuff like that, maybe. And that's why they go, oh, it's technically a bigger map because you're combining all the different map sections, not just the main exploratory world that everybody associates with Assassin's Creed. So in that case, like, I guess that would make sense. And I wouldn't necessarily feel like, oh, it's so much smaller. And it's like, it's fine if it's smaller. It doesn't have to be the exact same size. As long as you have interesting stuff. Now, obviously, you don't want to be, if you're making actual England and part of Norway, you don't want to do, like, necessarily the Watch Dogs 2 situation where you have San Francisco, you have, like, the whole Bay Area, but it's kind of truncated. where it's not quite, it's like, yeah, you know, I got from this point a little quicker than I would if this was real life, because they took some liberties, but
they like chop a freeway in half or something.
Yeah, like they get rid of one like little section of it, and like, oh, we're just going to kind of squish San Francisco together, and yeah, you know, maybe this East Bay is going to be a little tighter than it actually is. But
because it's not squished enough in real life. I thought that's how San Francisco
worked.
No.
Oh. I was lied to.
Yep. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they show, I wonder if they'll do like one of those map where they show like the main map size usually next to a previous one entry to show like how big it is for scale. Yeah, moving on, we did get a reveal for The Last of Us Part 2 PlayStation 4 Pro, which has this really nice engraving of the tattoo that Ellie has on her arm. The controller does say Last of Us 2 on the touchpad, and also has it on the right side of the controller. It has the same tattoo. I really like that idea of just like that stencil engraving on the console versus a flat image. I think that's really cool.
It looks so nice.
Yeah. And I'm glad it's a they're still doing pros, because weren't there a couple special editions after the Pro launch where it was like it was a PlayStation Slim, like it was the base version. I'm like, why not make it?
There were a few things like that where it was kind of just like sad because of it, because they were really cool versions and they were the Slim.
Yeah, I think Spider-Man might have been
it wasn't God of War, was it? There was one that was like it would have made me buy a Pro because I loved it so much, except it was a Slim.
No, God of War had
no God of War was a Pro.
Because the middle section piece in the front was a different color than the upper and lower. I think it was more like a goldish color, isn't it? Like the top is like gray and the bottom's gray, but the middle piece where the power and reset button are is like a kind of goldish. Isn't that the case for?
Oh, for the God of War one, it's gray all around, but the middle piece just has a like a gold decoration on it. Yeah, it's a Celtic knot. Basically.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
The all the way around though, it's gray.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was the Kingdom Hearts one that did that, but that's a Pro, so I can't think. But I know there were some where they came out with a special edition. They were like, it's just regular, and I'm like, why?
Yeah, I don't know why, but I feel like it was Spider-Man. But I don't know why you would do that with Spider-Man. But I don't know. Yeah. But and moving on. From there, we did get a demo this week for Iron Man VR, which, of course, last week we talked about how it got a new release date for July. And there is a demo out, so if you have PlayStation VR and you want to try out the game, go ahead and do it. So there's that. We also got details for Gearbox talking about the next bit of DLC, The Bounty of Blood, also teasing DLC Pack 4. This is during a live stream this week. I'm trying to see if there's a release date. So it looks like no trailer's been released for the game as of yet, but one will likely drop before the expansion release date on June 25th. So June 25th is when the DLC comes out. Again, there's no trailer yet. They just kind of teased an image for it. But, are you still playing, or will you go back and play the DLC for Borderlands, Izzy?
I might play it when all the DLC is out and just play it all at once, but I honestly got so sick of the nerfs that happened in Borderlands instead of fixing bugs. Like, that's one of my absolute biggest pet peeves with game development. And I know we've kind of talked about it before, about how usually it's, like, different teams and stuff. But with Gearbox, I got so fucking sick of everything being nerfed into the ground when it's a single-player game and the point was to be ridiculously overpowered and fun that I don't know. Borderlands 3 soured a lot of, like, goodwill from me when it started off as this amazing game that I absolutely loved, and then nerf after nerf after nerf really soured it for me. So yeah. I'll probably go back to play the DLC and form like a final opinion when all's said and done, but not until it's all out, I think.
No. Yeah, I still haven't even finished that last mission. Maybe I want to if I wait to like go back into it and just play all the DLCs and ones, if there was like a, I mean, there's kind of a lull right now until Last of Us comes out, but I don't really want to play Borderlands right now.
We can't because we're playing The Forest.
That's right. moving on, we're going to get new gameplay next week for Outriders, which is the PS4 and PS5 cross-gen title. Apparently, People Can Fly were announced that their new gameplay and info for the game will come out next week during a live stream. It's going to be apparently like a deepest dive situation. It'll happen on Twitch on the 28th at 9 a.m. Pacific time, so you can go ahead and check that out. I'll probably just wait until it goes up on YouTube. Definitely looking forward to more info on that game. There's also a Final Fantasy XIV Starter Edition for PS4 that's going free for a limited time. Granted, it's going free until the 26th, which is Tuesday. So that's, of course, most likely everyone's going to miss it if you don't know how to hurry where. I mean, I'll put the podcast up on Monday, but Mondays is a holiday in the U.S. So, but yeah, you can go ahead and play that. And apparently the starter package includes 30 days of gameplay, so you can enjoy it for a month after you have installed it. It doesn't have any of the expansions. Those have to be purchased separately. I'm trying to see, is there, because I thought the, it says 30 days. I always thought that the starter edition was like up to a certain level of just the main game. Did they change it? Was it ever that case? Or it was just like, oh, you get to play like the first 30 levels free? Or am I thinking of like a different MMO?
No, that was it. Yeah, I think the starter edition grants you access to the full game and like the 30 days of free play time or whatever up to level 25 or 30 or something like that. But you can level all the jobs up to 25 or 30. You can level anything up to that point. It just caps your EXP, so you can't level anymore until you have the full version or whatever. So you can technically pay like hundreds of hours on the free on the starter edition still, since you can level anything up. But if you want to go past that level or go past a certain point in the story, then you have to get the regular edition or like the bundle or whatever that comes with all the expansions.
I wonder how much it costs normally, because I feel like you'd want something like that to be free anyways. Like, if it's just going to be a starter edition, like, it's not like people are going to, especially if you can only get to level 25, they're not going to be able to experience even all of the, you know, first bit of story.
It gives you a ton of, like, bonuses, too. Like, it gives you bonus EXP items and special pieces of gear and, like, a mount or something like that, I think. So, it comes, when you buy it, it comes with a bunch of, like, bonus stuff. And then, if you... I think they're still doing that promotion that if you create a character on a preferred world rather than a congested world, you get a bunch of bonuses for that too. So it's not just like the base game. You get a whole bunch of stuff with it too. So because if it was just the base game, I'm sure they would give it out for free, or they would just say, you know, go download the client or whatever, but you can only get up to a certain point until you pay for the subscription. So, but I think they do the starter edition and offer all the extra bonuses and stuff like that so that people are more easily hooked, because they haven't done the rework to A Realm Reborn quests. And I think I'm pretty sure the like 25-30 range is when the quests start to get stupid. So that's probably why they stop it at that point. But once they do the rework, it's going to be a lot easier to get into it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was trying to go in and see, like, normally when there's a discount on something, you can go to the PlayStation Store, and if you go down to the details of that game's page, it'll show you what the discount of the original price was before the discount. But this one doesn't. It just is free on every page front, so I can't see, like, what it would cost outside of this promotion, which is really annoying, because I want to know. I was like, I want to know what it was. Like, is it $10? Is it... But who knows. Yeah, there's that. And then we did get news on the multi, you know, we talked about Summer Game Fest, which is the Jeff Keighley thing that he announced a while ago, you know, all summer long showing stuff. But apparently that they're continuing its multi-month Global Game Festival with two newly announced event dates, both will focus on a select group of indie game creators curated by Day of the Devs team and Jeff Keighley. So the first showcase will broadcast on June 22nd, while the second follows up a month later on July 20th. So those are two indie game creator days for during this Summer Games Fest. So I'm curious if they're going to have, since they have these indie specific ones on two different days, split between both months, I wonder if they'll announce any big days for more larger companies. Like if they'll group together, like here's a day for, you know, Sony and, or, you know, big third party titles that are going to be coming out. Like here's this day for that one. Or is it going to be just kind of up to EA, Activision, you know, yada yada, to do their own thing within, if they're participating in this Summer Game Fest, like, will they kind of group together to make it a little more digestible for the consumers and the media, or are they going to be like, nah, we'll do our own day, so it's like one day's this, one day's this. It's like, I wonder how they're going to do it. But yeah, if you're looking for more indie stuff, especially considering a lot of that stuff's going to be shown, it's probably going to be on the next-gen console, so who knows, maybe some launch indie games. We'll see. But yeah, that's basically it for the news. Again, not a whole lot. There was another trailer, dev trailer for Last of Us Part II, talking about the combat and gameplay mechanics and how they did add a jump button. So there's a lot more verticality to the level design. They also had discussions about how they didn't want to, because they added the jump button, they didn't want the game to feel like a series of arena encounters, like in the design. So they had to make sure they still designed the game very naturally, so it felt organic and the way you moved around.
Oh god, if it was like jump into an arena and you can't escape until you kill everything, I would have been frustrated.
Well, not even something like that. Like, I mean, they do that in Uncharted. They have things, situations like that. But they just mean like
Last of Us is different though.
Right, but they meant more like no one would build two sheds next to each other near the second floor of this house. Like, you know, architectural design that doesn't make sense in the real world because you added verticality to your game is what they're talking about. So not necessarily boxing off an arena, just like they don't want it to be like, no one would build a house like this. Like this wouldn't exist. But they built it that way because for the gameplay, it makes sense. Like they want to keep it still natural. So that's cool. It's just to see, I like when games add verticality, and it's not like it's going to be a ton. You know, it's not like it's a first-person shooter with verticality in it or something. It's just, now you can get up here. It adds little vantage points for the combat, which it's always good to change things up that way. But yeah, it's a good little video you can watch. There's no spoilers in it. A lot of the footage they show is basically the stuff you've already seen from the original gameplay trailer that they showed, you know, a couple years ago. So there's no new footage necessarily. And I think there's maybe some of like a walk in the snow, but nothing crazy. I know they think they have three more of those dev trailers. I think there's going to be five total. So I'm curious what the other three are going to be, because the first one was kind of like, I think, a tone discussion. And then the second one was the gameplay. I wonder what the, maybe it'll be like world design or something like that they can do next. But yeah, that's coming up fast. I mean, June 19th. Yeah, I was looking at my calendar, my work calendar. Elson and I got an email about approval for vacation days, and I forgot I had taken some time off in June, like months ago, because we're gonna go do some trip, I think Disneyland or something, I don't remember, which of course isn't gonna happen. But I looked and it was like 18th, 19th, and 22nd. I was like, well, I'm gonna cancel the 18th and the 22nd days because I'm not gonna go anywhere. But the 19th, because it's the new Last of Us release date, I'll still keep that day. I'm like, that'll be good. I have that day off just to play the whole game.
What about the day after, though? You're not gonna beat it in one day.
No, I don't need to beat it in one day. I'll play it probably that night after 9, and then once it unlocks, play it Friday, and then Saturday I'll be able to talk more about it. Of course, I won't be able to talk too much because you two won't be that far.
Because you'll be ahead of both of us.
Yeah, I'll be like, how far are you? You're like, oh, I'm on chapter 2. I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's fun.
Oh, that's cute.
I don't know, I'm pretty good at, like, I'm pretty good at making it through video games quickly while still completing all of the work tasks that have been assigned to me during a day. to put it delicately.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just in case anybody's listening.
Yeah. I can still meet my deadlines. Don't fire me. I need a job.
I promise I'm working.
Yeah. So there's that. That's it for the news. So let's go ahead and jump into, because I know we've got two hard outs today. Let's just jump into what you're playing. What are you even playing, Zaya?
This is awkward.
just more Animal Crossing and
any more. Don't you have all the turnips yet?
I sold my turnips on Wednesday. Thank you very much.
You haven't like collected all the turnips in the world yet, and you're done. You got the turnips. You beat the game.
Yeah, I got the turnips and beat the game. Isley, that's the point of Animal Crossing.
I thought so. I thought it was to out Nook Tom Nook. So good job.
Yeah, to out capitalism him.
Yeah.
No, it's just been. I had a stressful week at work, so I've just been relaxing playing that. And then we're still playing Don't Starve and stuff like that every now and then, but not so much during the week because it's just hard to get all three of us together at the same time to actually play it. But I'm just like, I don't know, I'm just enjoying playing one thing and not really worrying about anything else until more stuff comes out, because I have other stuff I can play, but I don't want to get like super into another thing that I'm going to sink a lot of time into when Last of Us is so close to coming out. And then there's a Harvest Moon game that's coming out that I want to play too. Of course, I'll probably just pick it up and not play it right away. I don't know. But I don't know. I'm kind of just enjoying like having something chill to play for a couple hours a day and then just relaxing.
Yeah. It's kind of what I've been doing. Where it's like when I finished XCOM, I was like, oh, what am I going to play now? I was like, I wasn't feeling anything. And then the people who were playing Warzone were primarily playing the multiplayer stuff, because they added like a new maps or whatever, but it's like DLC maps. So I got one guy invited me. I'm like, well, I didn't buy the DLC map, so I can't play the game. like it even tells you, like when you look at your, going to the social list within the game, it tells you like if someone's available or unavailable. And it usually means either A, the party's full, or B, they're playing content that you don't own, so you can't join their party. And then I haven't hopped into Apex yet because they were having some hit registry problems where like hits weren't counting for people. And it wasn't like super common, but it was common enough that it was all over the subreddit. So I'm just like, you know, I'm just going to wait. And plus these first 2 weeks were going to be only in the new modified King's Canyon map, which I was like, you know, I don't really want to play that right now. But I mean, I can, and I'll probably, if I go back in and I don't have anybody to play with, I'll probably just play ranked, because the ranked did reset. So at least I can playing ranked, I feel like, with Rams is a little more fun than playing randoms non-ranked, because usually people in ranked don't quit when they die immediately, and they're a little more communicative. I was watching someone play where they're like, man, turning on the Japanese voice makes this game really like awesome. And they were playing the game and like all the images on the screen are Japanese characters, and like the characters are talking in Japanese, but he's playing a character who, a legend who has voices in her head that warn her about things. Like if someone's aiming at her, she's like, someone's got me in their sights. And like, it's like this internal voices that warn you about. So I'm like, great. You've got voices in your head, but they're speaking another language. You have no idea what they're saying. Like, you can't really use her passive ability now.
Yeah.
And then, now obviously when people ping stuff, usually you can, like, it'll be, if it's armor or gear, it'll tell you what they pinged in like the top right. But I think if they ping like enemies, I don't know if it says like enemy spotted in the top right. Like obviously you can see the color of the ping. Usually if it's red, that means that's the enemy indication and stuff like that. But I was like, and it was kind of cool. Like all three characters just speaking Japanese, and it was like an anime meme or something where it's just going crazy. And I've done
now stuff. You can't hear any of their warning cues.
Right. You have no idea. It's like, and they got in a fight and I'm like, well, if someone gets down, how are you going to know? You have to actually pay attention to the, you know, their health bars in the bottom left. You have to, you know, I need light ammo. And it's like, but you won't, how are they going to know unless they look at the request that you make in the top right? It's like, that's going to be pretty funny. But I've done that in stuff like in, like the last time I played StarCraft II, I turned it to German. Because I was like, you know what, at the time I was like, I wanted to learn German, and I was like, well, I could just play this game in German, because I know anytime it tells me something, usually it's, I need Vespene gas, I need more minerals, I need overlords. Like, it's stuff I already know mechanically that I'm going to do anyways, and usually I'm spamming the button just because I know I'm about to get 100 gas, that's when I'm going to plant my spawning pole. I know I don't have the gas yet, game, but it's like it. I've thought like, I wonder if I just played it in this other language. But it's funny in that game because it's I play Zerg, so when you use other voice languages as the Zerg, they usually by default try to talk more in like this deeper alien tone, mm-hmm. versus if you're the Terran or the Protoss. So it's really funny just listening to other languages where it's like normally they'd have a, you know, Guten Tag, but instead it's like Guten Tag. Like it's just really deep and like it's just it's super funny. But yeah, I was like, man, I wonder if any game I play now has other voice language chat. Like if I replay a game that has alternate language, it's just like I wonder if like I thought about restarting the Nathan Drake collection. I wonder if they have all the alternate voice tracks in there for those games. But yeah, it's like yeah, after XCOM, it's like I just don't know what to play outside of the two battle royales, but no one's really on, so I'm kind of my incentive to want to play, I want to play with other people, but it's not there, so I'm like, eh, I just kind of play with some randoms on Warzone. And then I re-downloaded Far Cry 3 Classic Edition, which annoys me that it still runs at 30, and I don't think it's even, I feel like the game's definitely not, the frame pacing's bad, because I've played plenty of first-person shooters in 30, and plenty of third-person shooters and other games in 30 that feel good when the frame pacing's good. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's the only problem with 30 is like, in especially in first-person, it's like, if the frame pacing's bad, then the game just feels bad. And I feel like the frame pacing's not that great. And I turned boost mode on, because I forgot I turned boost mode off, to see if that would help at all. But I don't think it's, like, making anything more stable. But I'm playing that, and I thought, I was like, you know what? Maybe I should wait, because I kind of want to replay all the Far Cry games, at least 3, 4, and 5, and Primal. And I was like, oh, I should replay those. But I thought, like, oh, well, if I do end up building a PC, I could just play them there, because then I could still use the controller, and then I can play them at 60 if I'm going to replay these games. Plus, mm-hmm. it feel probably like, and with the higher settings, maybe at least 3 and maybe 4 would feel like new games, whereas 5, not so much. I had pretty much PS4 looks, once you got to 5, it looks great across the board. But then I was like looking up, like, once Windows went to Windows 10, like, everybody's having problems with the 64-bit OS, and, like, then it was like, oh, can't run Far Cry 3 that well on it, and some people could get it to run for, like, a minute and a half, and then it would crash. And then I did finally see some people, it looks like in 2018, they were put some video footage up, but they were using, like, RTX, or they were using a 1080s, rather, running the game. And the game ran at, like, you know, 70 or whatever FPS max, and they had like everything up at max, but that game didn't really have a whole lot of graphical options back in the day when it came out, because it was 2012. But yeah, I was like, that became my concern. I'm like, okay, well, now if I do get one and I download those games, I'm like, will they be compatible A with the 64-bit OS, and then B, will it be fine with the upgraded CPUs and GPU that I'll be using versus what they launched with? Because I'm like, the compatibility, that's a huge problem. I'm like, I don't want to go to buy these games, and it's like, oh, sorry, no, can't play them on your current PC configuration, or I got to jump through a bunch of goddamn hoops just to get it to work.
It's welcome like, to PC gaming land.
Right, it's reminding me of the one thing I didn't like, but at least it's only because I want to play these old games, and it seems like, for the most part, they're fixed. Like, at least whatever initial 64-bit problem there was with Far Cry 3, it's fixed. And then I didn't look up Far Cry 4, but I imagine that would be better because more recent. I think it's just because Far Cry 3 was, you know, 2012. But yeah, and it's weird. I was looking, I was like, oh, on the Ubisoft store, they're on sale and they're super cheap. Not on Steam. And I was like, well, I'd rather keep them on, put them on Steam, but have them on Steam. It's like, yeah, I'll just get the UB ones if the, you know, if those are on discount, at least by the time I put stuff together. But it's like, I don't know. Everyone online's like, hey, don't build a PC right now. It's a bad time. Because
everything's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not even that. It's because AMD is supposed to show their new chipsets in, like, September, and then Intel just released their two new CPUs. But then another concern people were having was that with the new Zen products from AMD coming out, they're going to initially drop support for their 400 series motherboards. And then, like, just this week, they rolled it back. And, like, you know what? Actually, we decided we are going to support, because there was, I guess, a lot of the community didn't like the fact that they bought this motherboard thinking that it would be good for an additional life cycle. and like, oh, we're going to roll that back that decision. You can upgrade the BIOS. It will cancel out Gen 1 and Gen 2 chips, which wouldn't matter because why would you downgrade your CPU? But then it's also kind of up to certain manufacturers to allow that on the board itself when they make it, which I imagine everybody will. So that was kind of one of the reasons they told people not to buy right now, was because it's like, hey, they're going to come out with this new stuff. Not that I care what they come out with in September. It's like, if I'm going to build it, I'm still going to get Ryzen 5 3600, and I'm still going to get the 2060 Super. Like, I'm not going to go crazy. I don't need anything crazy. I just want to buy it. And those, for the most part, are always in stock. The only thing I'm having trouble getting a hold of is power supplies, and then motherboards is the problem. Like, it's like no one has any motherboards, at least the 400 series. I was going to go buy, it's like these two brands, MSI Tomahawk Max, which is out, and if anybody does have, they're upcharging like 200%. And, or there's these other ones that aren't that great versions of the motherboard. I'll probably just say screw it and buy the 500, I think it's like 570 series, which is like technically the next board that's supposed to be, was originally made for the new chipsets that are going to come out in September. And I could just get those because it's not that much more money, but like, that's the biggest thing I'm running into. And I also looked too, like a week and a half ago, I looked and Best Buy's like, oh, if I bought from Best Buy anyways, it's like, oh yeah, deals be in at like May 27th. And then I was like, well, I'll wait. And then the other day I looked again at the same parts. I just put them in like a save for later list or something like that. And it's like, oh, now it'll be June 2nd. I'm like, now is it June 2nd because I didn't place my order and you've already pre-allocated that stock to someone else, or would the date have moved regardless? You know, because I have that happen on Amazon all the time, where like I'll order some and it's like, hey, your date's been changed. And I've had it where it's like dates move up on Amazon because I said, you know what, I want to upgrade my surge protectors. And I was like, so I bought these two Belkins, one that's like really nice. And that came in much quicker than the other one. Like, I haven't even received the second one yet. I'm waiting for that, but yeah. PSUs. That's why I keep looking at like these custom PC websites, and I keep punching all the stuff and comparing them across the board. Like, okay, well, who has the best deals? And even then, when I look at it, it's like, okay, well, I put in those same components into the PC part picker website, and it's like, I still come down to, you know, a couple $100 cheaper. Usually it's not too much, like $200, $300 sometimes. But yeah, one was like $400 or something. Like, good God. And then AMD also lowered the price. They dropped the price of their 3900 CPU by $100. So it's like, that's super cheap now because they're just sticking it to Intel. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess I could just get that. I consider the Ryzen 5, not that it would necessarily be a big game.
I have a stupid question. Mm-hmm. Is AMD like still worse than Intel across the board, or have they kind of shored that up? Because I know like many years ago, Intel was like the only thing you could really get for games. Is that still the case?
No, when AMD first came out, their first chipsets were bad. Mm-hmm. And then now they're really good. Their Intel is still the best as far as when you look at any sort of performance, overclock performance, as far as FPS in games, it still favors Intel. But Intel's also super expensive. So when you look at cost to performance ratios, it's always like you're getting more bang for your buck when you buy AMD. The other thing with AMD too is while they may be, you know, slightly below Intel in gaming performance, their multi-threading allows them to perform much better in other non-gaming tasks like video rendering, editing, stuff like that. Like they outperform Intel there. So if you're doing that kind of stuff, I think their Radeon GPUs are decent. They're much cheaper than the RTX lineup right now. And I think the 50s, is it 56 or 57? I think it's 5600 is what the highest one they have. Performs pretty well as far as against the, I think that one performs better than the RTX 2060. And I think it's maybe on par with the 2060 Super, but it's cheaper than the Super. So it's like you could go all AMD, you'd get a cheaper computer with still good performance. But yeah, when you look at they really beefed up their hardware the past couple of years. So they're which is good to have that comp. I mean, you could see that because they obviously the consoles switched from Intel to AMD's a couple of gens ago. So you can see it definitely.
They're competitive now. Basically.
Yeah.
It's not just like, oh, well, you got the cheaper option and now you get the cheaper performance. It's like now you get the cheaper option and you still get good performance and it's just a different type of performance.
Yeah. And if you still want like top end best game performance, you still go like the high end Intel stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, again, you're paying a lot of money for that. Which is why I was looking at the Ryzen 5, because right now that's a really popular CPU for across all game builds. It's just, oh, do this because it's a great CPU for gaming. And if you're doing other stuff like streaming, yada, yada, doing everything else. But yeah. Anyways.
Now would be a really good time to look into sales and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was hoping there'd be some more, because of Memorial Day weekend, I was hoping there'd be some nice sales there, but it's just not that much. And there were some, and I could find like pre-built gaming PCs that are actually decently priced that have the AMD, either the combo AMD RTX that I want, or all AMD or whatever, that are, I'm like, this price is actually really good comparatively to what if I pick the parts. But the one thing that's different is that I can't pick, again, I mentioned this last week, I can't pick the motherboards. The motherboard's probably where there's, you know, saving money, as it could be like some B300 series. I'm like, well, if I ever upgrade the CPUs, I'm going to have to buy a new motherboard. And it's like, okay, that's probably where it's, you know, I'm eating it. Or it's some low clocked RAM that's like 26660 or something.
And a lot of the times when they do like sale builds and stuff like that, it'll be all the same motherboard because they got it in bulk or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So they just build a bunch of PCs with the same motherboard and then they let you customize like certain options and stuff like that. It's like, you want to put, you know, in the long run, if you're not looking to do major upgrades or like that anytime soon, or to keep up with the current hardware, you want to put the money into the motherboard and like the GPU.
Yeah, and there's a couple, there's only, like I open up like 6 tabs of different gaming PC building websites that you customize the stuff, and only a handful of them let you actually choose the motherboard. Some of them are usually like, they only upgrade if you choose certain components. Like, oh, you chose an NVMe main drive? Okay, well, we'll upgrade your motherboard to this motherboard then. And it's like in the background, you can't choose it. But, and even some that do have, let you upgrade, they only have the, like, if I'm going AMD, they're like, oh, we only have these 5 570 motherboards. So they don't even have like the B450 options that would be cheaper. I mean, not that it's that much more expensive to get the 570s, but it's like they lock you into like, oh, you can only get the newest and greatest motherboards you can. We don't have any stock of the other ones, but
yeah.
But yeah. Anyways, moving on from my PC building woes. Izzy, what have you been playing recently?
I wonder. Who might know what I have been playing?
I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, I've just been playing The Forest with you, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you've been there.
Oh, weird.
Surprisingly.
And how's that experience going?
Well, you know, the person leading me around the forest is a bit of a nightmare, and I'm going to have to murder him 10 times. But other than that, it's going great.
Yeah, we did have some problems where, like, he would, because he's the host, and he'd invite me in, and then, like, we need to hunt, like, some boars to get, make this warm weather suit so we can explore the north part of the map, and the animals just didn't load in. And it's, like, apparently a common bug, so we have to, like, leave, reload back. But then, like, the other day, yesterday we played, and we loaded in, like, instantaneously, there was, like, 3 deer outside our camp. I'm like, well, the animals are here when we don't need them anymore, because we got all our stuff. But,
yeah. Kill them anyway. Been fun. I've liked the game. It has janky animations and things, but I think across the board, I've enjoyed the game much more than I thought I would. I don't really have any idea what's going on with the story, to be honest. I know the kid was kidnapped, and there are mutant people that may or may not be, like, eating the kid. TBD. But I am enjoying the game quite a bit. So the base building is fun, except they don't have snap building, which I don't understand why places don't have snap building, but you know, it's okay. The world is pretty cool. It's actually quite a bit spookier than I thought it would be. I did not expect it to actually have like startling moments, but there have been quite a few moments that like threw me off, like the fucking bats.
And the bats, the iguanas, man, those guys, because they just like, I'll be walking along and then all of a sudden it's like through the grass. I'm like, oh, damn it, stupid iguana. I didn't, oh, I thought you were a monster.
Yeah, so I'm enjoying it. I obviously I'm playing with you and you've played it before, which makes certain parts easier because you know like where to go and what to do. I genuinely wonder how long this game would take me if I didn't have you leading me around. If it would be like a, you know, 100-hour game, or if I would just straight up die, because it's basically a survival game, so I imagine a lot of people just die multiple playthroughs until they learn more about the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool. Zaya, you should play with us.
No, not at this point. All like the worst mutants are walking about. we can't do that. I'd imagine like if you did play it, just nothing at all and just exploring, like it would probably be, there'd be a random aspect to it, like how I mentioned before, if you got captured and you get taken, like I said, that is the benefit of single player, where if you get captured or killed, you don't die, you get captured and taken to the main cave entrance, which has three key items that you can find, and then it's just which other cave entrances do you explore, and then where do you set your base up. Like if you set your base up in the main southern portion of the island, it's like you're pretty much going to be attacked all the time. I mean, honestly, maybe like make like a tree house or something. But it's like, yeah, then it's just, it's that random aspect of which caves do you explore first? Cause again, a lot of items you can find are closer to certain cave entrances than others. Versus just exploring everywhere. And I think if you die in a single player game, you just load your previous save, so it's not like the only thing you lose is time if you didn't save previously. So that's like the one moment where it's like, oh, making a temporary shelter is like super helpful, but granted you can only carry 20 of the 21 sticks needed. But I feel like it probably wouldn't take you that long. I mean, it took me, I think I beat it on day 26, and I did look up some things when I first played it, because I was like, all right, well, I found a lot of stuff, but I kind of just want to like know what I'm going into. And I was like, okay, well, how do I get here? It was like, oh, I need these two key items that I probably would have never found. I wouldn't have just randomly happened upon it. Plus, it's even more creepy single player. So it's like going through those caves all dark and like, okay, is there a Virginia? Is there an Armsy? What's going on? I think if you enjoy this, I feel like you would really enjoy Subnautica, which is a much better, like there's no jank in the game. Like this is, Forest is in Unity, so that's why it's probably super janky. I think it was only made by a small group of people. I tried to look up to see if the sequel is also made in Unity, but I know Unity's got some upgrades recently, or updates rather, so maybe it'll run a little better. I don't know. But yeah, I think like you would really enjoy Subnautica. It's
Subnautica's not really a horror game though, right? Like I know there's somewhat spooky moments going.
There. It's not horror, but it definitely is that thalassophobia or whatever, where like you can be exploring in your tiny itty bitty little moon pool submarine thing, and there's like big leviathan fish that can get you if you're not careful, or when you have to leave that thing and you have to actually swim out because you need to pick up items, and there's these other aggressive fish that will get you. And so like, you're like kind of racing, okay, if I park my moon pool thing right here, or, you know, okay, now my Seamoth rather, my moon pool's part of a building structure, park my Seamoth, and I got to swim into this thing, grab an item that I need to pick up, and then swim back out and not get attacked by any of the things. There's other fish that are way more aggressive. So it's more like it can be scary when you just go exploring the unknown in that game because you're underwater. So it's like, okay, if your ship gets destroyed, now you're underwater. Can I get to the surface without being killed so I can get more oxygen? You know, and then so I feel like that game, it's not obviously as creepy as The Forest, but I feel like there's a lot more base building in that. And I know you liked building base in this, plus there's snap base building in Subnautica. I just feel like you would really enjoy Subnautica.
It's a different type of scary. It's like tension scary rather than like body horror scary.
It's not, but it's that same The Forest exploration kind of stuff. I feel like you would really enjoy it. So after you read The Forest, I would definitely give Subnautica a shot. I feel like you would really like it.
I mean, The Forest is tension scary too.
Right. And you get that in just when you're in the water of Subnautica, which you're doing a lot. And so it's like, I have to explore. Okay, you're in the safe zone at the start. You know, not really aggressive fish. You're okay. But it's when you have to venture out and you have to, okay, now you have to go deeper and deeper. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, but I the reason I like Subnautica more than The Forest because there's way more clear progression steps you had to make. Like, you knew where you had to get and you knew how you had to get there. It's like, okay, this next audio log is 500 meters down. I can only go 300 meters in my unit. Okay, well, how do I get down 500 meters? Oh, I can build this item. Or I found the blueprint for this thing. Okay, now I need these materials. And I have to find those and yada yada. So I like the much more clear progression in that game than a game like The Forest. But anyway, I guess we should wrap it up here because we only got 5 minutes till 12. I know you both have to head out. Yep. So yeah, we'll stop it there. And we'll see next week maybe how The Forest goes. And I'm sure we'll probably finish it pretty soon. But yeah. All right. Well, thank you all for tuning in and listening. Thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Zyra, for joining. Mm-hmm. And we'll see you all next time.
Later. Bye.